third season. The stars are out with their fake smiles, fake speeches, and fake breasts. What's going on, everybody? This is Show Radio. I'm Vic Butera, the movie critic who still can't be bought. And I am surrounded this week by Cortez Stamps, our media guru and America's sweetheart. What's going on, Mr. Stamps?
Surrounded by, is that a fat joke?
I was going to finish the other names in a second. It was not a fat joke. Nice start. And also Steve Rubin, our movie news reporter, who's not America's sweetheart. He's here. What's going on, buddy?
I thought Cortez was giving you a hug when you said surrounded by.
Oh, well, it could sound like that.
I don't know.
A lot of warmth and love in the bunker. But we've also got a guest here today. First timer, Mr. Dale Zawada.
Woo!
What's going on, Dale?
That's so nice.
He's a virgin.
Yeah, we usually don't give claps on the first time, so that's kind of special. Dale is a comedian and a screenwriter.
Yeah.
My God, what a perfect fit for this show. First thing I want to do is talk about who you are a little bit for people who might not have heard your podcast, because you do a podcast called Sad Clown Radio, right?
Yeah, we do Sad Clown, and I'm just a comedian trying to make his way in the world. Screenwriter, I've been doing that for a while.
Is that what the scripts are about? Just a comedian trying to make his way in
everyone
the world?
Everyone is a different take on that.
Different take
this
on
one's
that?
A horror
same
movie
theme?
Where he's trying to and he gets killed. It's everyone.
It's a common theme. Works for you. No, but you've been doing comedy for how long now?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years. And it's been purely stand-up, or is there any other stuff going on?
Like, no, I can't.
No,
I
sketch
just do I can't do improv. I'm scared to death of improv.
Well, it is like a special set of skills. You got to go to classes and learn how to do that.
I think
stuff.
That's why I don't want to do it. It's like, I'm not doing that.
Is there snobbery? Yeah. The improv people versus the stand-up people or vice versa?
Well, people say that, like, there's improv versus stand-up people. I never really see it, but okay. I just know I would never do improv.
Okay, not your thing.
And you know you have to improv today, don't you?
I actually wrote down everything I'm going to say.
Okay, good. I was wondering
it's
what all those sheets
of paper. Got a full notebook. Everything you've said up until now has been scripted.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Things have been going well.
Fade in.
Because that's what you do. You're a screenwriter. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you've been doing stand-up for 2.5 years?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So that's that's been going good. Now, you've worked with another Show Radio guy who we've had on, Ryan Buds, right?
Yeah, I worked with Ryan. A lot of your guests, Jeannie
Dugan.
Mike Leibovitz.
Okay.
Yeah, good people. Work with all these people. Just try to...
Part of that whole, that click?
Show Radio is the glue. Chicago comedy scene.
Finally, a little goddamn respect from somebody.
I like that.
Finally. Well, I'll tell you something. It's your first time in the show. It won't be the last.
Good.
Compliments like that will keep you coming back.
I'm pretty good at kissing the ass. I'll be
oh, there's many yards of ass to kiss around here.
What are you
no
saying?
No shortage of ass.
Fat jokes again.
Tez,
huh?
It's not direct.
Okay.
I can't even see you. You're behind the monitor. These are not fat jokes, all right? I can only see a third of you from here. Sliver.
So what are you saying?
From here, you're 115. That's all I can see. Jesus Christ. Not everything's a fat joke, all right?
Okay. So and not everything's about you, Tez. Come on.
God damn touchy. So anyway, let's get back to Dale. So the other thing that you are doing is you are a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And how many stories have you written, would you say?
I've probably written about, I think, over 10 screenplays now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been doing that longer than stand-up. I've been writing for about 5 years,
okay.
with little to no success, and it gets rough. So,
well, that's all right. That's a common thing we share here. I mean, this podcast hasn't exactly paid the bills yet. Not that podcasts ever do, but you've written 10 scripts, and now, but one of them recently, because I looked at your Facebook page a little bit, you've had a bite on one, right?
Yeah, last year I sold a movie, and they produced it, and it comes out March 2nd. It's called Worth the Wait.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so,
all right,
so this is shot and in the can? This
is
ready to go?
Yeah, it's all done. We're doing the festivals, starting next month, and it's done. The trailer's up on Facebook. When your Facebook's stalking me again, you can look at that. Yeah.
I was looking for more nude photos, but I couldn't find those. So I'll look for the accomplishments more. I'll look for the screenwriting more.
Yep.
So what is the story of Worth the Wait?
It's about a group of friends who partake in a weight loss competition amongst friends.
Oh.
And it focuses on one guy, this heavy set guy. And he's trying to get his life together. He's trying to lose weight, trying to find love. He's got all these problems. So it focuses on him just trying to get his life together and shenanigans. Dragons take place. It's a fat guy rom-com.
Well, he wrote it about me.
I was going to say, speaking on behalf of Tez, is this a fat guy joke?
I'm sorry, but
this movie, Tez is giving you a dirty look the whole time.
No, Tez, this movie's for us.
Oh, okay.
The theater is going to be packed, but there's only going to be like 12 people
in it. Armrests up. Fill out the seats. So it's a movie about a weight loss contest.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds cool. Actually, that's very timely with, you know, Biggest Loser, and there's like all these spin-off type weight loss shows.
Yeah, that's very popular for some reason. I don't know why, really. But I was trying to lose weight one time. You know how it is. I'll try to lose weight for a week.
Okay.
And I was reading this thing, like one motivating thing to help you is to take part of a weight loss competition. It'll motivate you, that competitive drive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I don't have friends to do that with. I'll write a movie about it.
Okay.
So I did that.
Okay. So no chubby buddy to partner up with trying to do that. So
right.
You decided to turn the idea into a script.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, wait a minute here. Let me throw in my two cents. You know, you can always get a personal trainer at Fitness 19 in Arlington Heights, just in case you happen to be there.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this or not. I mean, we got a whole battle going on here. Tez with the fat jokes. He's very paranoid. Steve is a fitness trainer.
I can tell.
Recently.
He can tell
from what I just said.
He can tell from that t-shirt that Steve's wearing.
Yeah, you can tell from that affliction style t-shirt he's got and that badass rock shirt.
Okay, I think I've got to go now. I'll see you guys later.
Steve, you're what, 58? 58. Your shirt's 18?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
I told you my kids bought it for me.
Split the difference, 38, right? Something like that. Split the difference. Your kids bought you that shirt. Okay.
That's right.
Sorry, I apologize for the word.
I don't want to look like you.
Malfunction. All right. But anyway, let's get back to Dale. Can you guys give the guy a break, please?
Well, first off,
give him a little room.
Anybody of note in the movie or that we would know or by any chance?
No, it's a lot of unknowns, a lot of people, you know, coming up.
And how do you spell in Worth the Weight? Is it what we think?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
W-E-I-G-H-T?
That's right.
So there's a wordplay there.
Very funny. Actually, like, that wasn't the original title.
I am a huge fan of a good wordplay like that. Worth the Weight.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a huge fan of that.
I really wasn't. The original title of the screenplay was The Weight War. Mm-hmm. I figured that's got some kick to it. But the director was like, we're going to change it to Worth the Weight. And I love a bad pun, or just any pun as much as anyone. And I was like, oh, you're the boss. Worth the Weight it is.
So is that what happened? When you're in a situation like that and you're going along and you feel like you're on this ride now, you're hooked up, they're going to make your movie. Do you feel sort of like, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm not going to try to, you know, fight anything. Let's just go with the flow. It's your first screenplay that got picked up.
Initially, I was like, I will say yes to whatever they ask. But then after a couple months of rewrites,
hold on a second. Was this like a declaration after you got the phone call?
Yeah, I hung up the phone.
I will say yes to anything they ask of me.
Yeah, and I was like that the first couple months. I'm doing these rewrites, and then I started to grow a backbone. I was like, let's not do that. Can we do some of this? And it's just you know, you try to play ball, but at the same time, you try to make your movie. You know?
So when did that happen? When did your testicles start to swell like that? When did you start feeling ballsy? Was it after a couple things didn't go the way you wanted? Or?
Well, I would see some of the jokes disappear. Like, I would watch, he would send me edits of the movie. Like, they would film it and be like, we're still filming. Check this out. We need notes and stuff. And I would watch, and I was like, that was great. Here's some notes. And then I would watch another cut 2 weeks later, and I was like, where's that dick joke that was right there?
That was my best dick
joke.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm trying to make people laugh. And so I was just like, where's the joke? And he's like, well, we felt it didn't work. And I was like, you know, okay. That's when my comedy, you know, came into question. That's when I was like, I've got a backbone. All right, who knew?
Oh, that's when it happened.
Who knew?
Okay, that's when you started swinging the big furry balls around. All right. By the end of the thing, though, by the time they were done with, I guess this was all going on during photography, right?
Mm-hmm.
During shooting. By the time it was done, did you feel like you'd hit a good point with compromise where you were getting what you wanted in there the most and they were getting what they wanted? Did it all work out by the end?
Yeah. I was, like, because I was very nervous about that. And like the first time I watched the finished version, like I put it in my DVD player and I was so nervous. I was like, this could suck. What they could have ruined everything. Let's find out. And, you know, I start the movie, and the first joke's there, and it lands. It's, you know, it's funny, I guess. Yeah. And but it was there. All the stuff he wanted was there, and all my stuff was there, and it's I'm very happy with it.
All right, so you're happy with the outcome.
Oh, yeah.
That's what really matters, because the process could be a little rough, especially if you haven't gone through it before. But if you're happy with the results, it's great.
And it's kind of hard, because it's, you know, filmmaking is very collaborative. Mm-hmm. So many people involved, so many voices.
So many cooks in the kitchen.
So many cooks in the kitchen.
So a year from now, you could be sitting here, if we have you back. Oh, wait, you are in City's coming back.
Yes.
You could be a Academy Award-nominated screenplay writer.
Crazy Steve, things have happened, I guess.
Maybe he didn't hear the part about Dale having his foot in the door. He'll be back.
Okay.
You know, this is the kind of guy we want to know around here.
Uh-huh.
And I joke about that. I'm like, oh, what an Academy Award. But let's be, if Diablo Cody can win one, why not Dale?
Come on. So what you're saying is the bar has been set low. You're not talking about clearing the high hurdle. You're talking about somebody brought it down so low that you can just step over it now.
Yeah.
Six-inch step over.
This is possible now.
This is possible. No, but I'm just going to go on record. I want this to be said right here and now. I'm going to predict next Kevin Smith right here, guys. Right here, guys. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Dale Zawada, the new Kevin Smith. Okay? A guy from the streets, a guy who grew up around Chicago. He's got a hometown feel, and he's going to be the next Kevin Smith.
That's cool. I'll have one good movie and a bunch of mediocre ones, and I'm okay with that.
No, what's the one good movie?
Clerks. Okay. I like Clerks.
Yeah, Clerks.
Dogma. I like Kevin Smith. He's awesome.
I like a lot of his early stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that's a cliche, but I do like a lot of his early stuff.
Yeah, that was.
Except for
I like
Chasing
a lot of his
Amy.
Early stuff.
I hated Chasing Amy.
Really?
Hated it. I couldn't say. Well, the girl who ended. I don't know if he was married at the time.
Joy Adams or whatever.
Whatever her name is. So annoying. The lead in that, the female lead.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
I can see that.
Yeah,
that
so got to me.
When's the sneak preview for us?
Oh.
Look at Steve already asking for special favors.
I know. Look at this guy.
We've known Dale for 38 minutes. And you're
when do I get the free personal trainer lessons?
Uh-huh. There you go.
Touché. You come up there with the DVD, and I'll train you. Tez won't bring me anything anymore.
Oh.
He didn't bring his goddamn goobers. Now I'm cut off.
See, because that was Steve's dream, was to get Tez involved, because Tez is an ample gentleman. I'm not saying anything, I'm not talking out of
turn. I have a wide stance,
You have a wide stance. It's been covered on this show. And Steve was hoping that he could get you involved, and then you would be his great success story.
Right.
My thinking was, I wanted to have you go to him and then hold up a sign that says, lost 5 pounds. Like, that's the big victory, you know? Like, Steve could claim something that way. It's a start.
Or you can just get a sign like, product of Steve's work. He does great job.
Thanks, Steve Rubin. There you go.
One of those
success
Wade?
Story.
Ask me how.
Ask me. Yeah, there's a bumper sticker.
Oh.
All right, Dale. So you know what? Let's finish up on the movie stuff a little bit more. So the movie is coming out in March.
Yeah, that's the first festival that we're in. It's Cinequest Film Festival in San Jose.
Okay.
And that's March 2nd, our little premiere. I'm going out there for that. It's going to be fun.
No, that sounds cool. Yeah. And then when that happens now, when you hit the festival circuit, I know there's prizes given out, but can you get a good general sense of feedback just from the festivals, from the screenings?
Yeah, definitely.
You can?
Yeah. And that's I'm nervous about that because the premiere is in a 550-seat theater, and it's going to be all these people. Mm-hmm. And the director, he's done stuff for ABC on like Modern Family and Dancing with the Stars. So maybe some of those people will be there.
Oh, so he's been a TV director as well as doing features.
He does a lot of like ABC's promos and commercials and music videos.
Okay.
And it's moving up.
And what is the director's name?
Ryan Sage.
Ryan Sage. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to link all the names together here.
Yeah. So I'm hoping...
When I do an IMDb search for Dale Zawada, I will see Ryan Sage come up also.
Yeah, yes you will.
There you go. All right, well, that's cool, man. Actually, you know, if you could get us a DVD or Tez could get one on the street, he could get a bootleg. You know, because that's what he does for us here. He gets his DVD bootlegs all the time.
Tez just pulls it out. I was like, worth the wait. I already seen that.
I already got it. His guy's already got it.
He's looking it up right now.
Is that what you're doing on your tablet?
No,
you're
looking
What are you doing over
there? He's watching it over there.
Maybe it's better I can't see him behind the monitor. I think it works out better. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to mention what is going to be on the show. We are going to be reviewing the film Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Am I saying that right? Did I get the order right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. And also, Steve's going to have movie news for us. He's got you got quite a stack this week,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
All right. So
a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And that's what will be happening. We should probably start out with a movie news story.
Okay, well, the first one we're going to go over is about movie titles. Sometimes are really wordy and complicated, like, and I'll try to do this one right, but Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
Come on.
See?
Come on, movie news, man.
That's very nice.
That's a nice Yakshamash. Borat, Cultural Learnings of America from Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Thank you. There you go.
All right. I just pre-read it. That's all.
Thank you. Well, very good. And others, like this week's Man on a Ledge, tell you everything you need to know about the movie. Pretty exciting. So we're going to go over five other movies, and let's see if you can tell what the movie's about from the title. First one is Snakes on a Plane.
Maybe one of the best examples of title tells you the movie. Title describes the whole movie.
Right.
And it was, you know what I liked about Snakes on a Plane? They made no bones about it. They're like, okay, this is an action movie. It's going to be silly. It's almost a B movie. Come see it. You're going to have a good time. And you got plenty of Sam Jackson yelling.
Ah, yeah. So Snakes on a plane.
And he had, that's where he had the great line, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. That was it. Wasn't that it, Tess?
That is it.
That simple?
I don't think the mother was in there.
Oh, no mother? Just
no,
fucking...
I thought it was
mother, because he always says mother. He always puts the MF.
Well, he's always angry, so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, anything that'll add to the fucker, motherfucker. And say, you know what? Sam Jackson should just do that in every movie. You know, like every movie he's in, he should make an announcement that he's sick. I'm tired of these motherfucking yuppies and the motherfucking romantic entanglements. Every movie's going to be that, where he just makes that that declaration. I'm tired of this motherfucking Batman and his motherfucking utility belt. Instead of Morgan Freeman, you get Sam Jackson.
Get him, right, yeah.
Every movie.
He actually did that in The Incredibles, but they had to cut that part out.
In the animated movie. I'm tired of these motherfucking superheroes in a motherfucking cute suit. Every movie, right? I'm tired of this motherfucking Harry Potter and his motherfucking magical friends.
I just want to see Sam Jackson at Hogwarts now. That image is just awesome.
Ooh, with the wand and everything? Yeah, get that going? Maybe get him like a wizard's hat or something?
Well, you know.
These motherfucking cutesy kids with the motherfucking magical wand.
Would he be the only black person in Hogwarts ever?
Well, he was the only black guy in Star Wars. Oh, no, Billy Dee Williams is also in Star Wars. All right, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead. So, Snakes on a Plane was
You know, when Sam listens to this podcast, I'm sure he'll take up your suggestion.
Oh, it'll reach him.
I'm sure it will.
Well, maybe our new Hollywood connection, Dale Zawada. Yeah.
I'll let him know. I'll tell him.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then from 2011, we have, what do you think Hobo with a Shotgun's about?
You know, I saw part of that recently.
You?
Yeah, I saw part of that with Rutger Hauer, right?
Yes, I have that. I was going to give that to you, but I decided not to.
Why? You thought it was beneath you? Oh, you think I'm snooty?
No.
I only like the Critics' Choice movies. Is that it? All right.
Well, from the year 2010, how about The Human Centipede?
Yeah. The Human Centipede.
That's about breakdancing, right?
Right.
No, what is that? What is The Human Centipede?
This is a mad, he's mad, of course, German scientist. He abducts and mutilates three people. Then he stitches them back together, mouth to anus.
Whoa.
To create a human centipede.
Whoa. That
you missed that one?
Hot. That sounds... Oh, what did I say that out loud? No, that's... What, he stitches them together?
Yes.
You did tell me something about that.
Yeah, and they made a second one, too, so there you go.
They made a second human centipede. Mm-hmm. All right.
And that wasn't nominated for an Academy Award? I can't believe that.
Should have been.
Okay, now we're really going back to 1978 for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Another movie where the title says it all.
Okay. Okay. That's right.
78.
And then this is the best one. And back in 1964... Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Ah.
Okay.
Anybody seen that one?
No.
Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Ted?
You haven't seen that? No, I'm serious. I've watched it several times.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's so bad.
Are you like chairman of the... Wait a minute. Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Oh, you've seen Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
Yes.
Where do you see it? Where is it...
on DVD, and like the Mystery Science Theater guys did a video of it.
So it's not a 24-hour on TBS,
like a Christmas story
or something like that.
It's awful, though.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. You've seen... is it supposed to be a spoof? It's supposed to be bad?
No, it's supposed to be this little adventure tale, and it's bad.
But it's bad?
Well, the children of Mars are unhappy, so the Martian leaders cook up a scheme to kidnap Santa Claus from Earth.
That's the scheme. Okay.
There you go. Santa Claus.
To make the Martian children happy.
That's right. Because he's going to set up what is that called? North Pole up there on Mars.
North
make the kids
Pole
happy. Right. There you go.
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard any of the Gingrich stuff. I wonder if this is where Newt Gingrich got his idea for colonizing the moon. Did you guys hear about it? He's talking about colonizing the moon.
I heard that, and that's because I don't follow politics too much. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear it, like, the situation now. But that's why I don't really follow it. Because it's like, what? Somebody's talking about living on Mars? What?
Right.
How can you take these
people serious? Credibility's gone.
Yeah.
Right. They're talking about this shit. But maybe that's where Gingrich got the idea. You know, I could be the Santa Claus on the moon. I'll be the Santa Claus on the moon, the guy in the red suit. I'm the fat guy. Just give me the beard. That's his thing.
Is that how he talks? I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. You don't know Newt?
A little bit. I can only take so much of
that. Very annoying. He's one of those fast talkers.
Oh, you mean Newton, Leroy...
Leroy Gingrich, right. That is his name. We were talking about that on the phone one day.
Leroy.
His middle name is Leroy.
Mm-hmm.
He is from the South.
What's funnier, Leroy or Newton?
I don't know. You tell me.
So we're not going to worry about the homeless people on Earth. We're going to worry about colonizing
the moon.
On the moon. That's good.
What we need to be doing.
Yeah, he deserves a vote or a swift kick in the ass or something.
Well,
we won't get into politics here.
Well, he wants he wanted an open marriage. Did you hear about that, Dale?
Yeah.
We never talk politics on here, but Newt Gingrich's second wife, second of three, she said that he kind of was hinting around he wanted an open marriage.
Oh. He's a bit of a player, and you would not think that.
No.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Who's fucking this guy? Who wants to fuck this guy? Why does he need all this tail?
Have you seen a picture of, I think it's his third wife? She's not bad.
Who the one with the crazy eyes?
Maybe the current one? I don't know.
She might be okay in a still photo, but if you saw a video, she is super stiff and creepy. She's real creepy. She's like a robot. Like a
fembot?
She's like a fembot. A perfect little robot. Her hair is totally like plastered with hairspray and doesn't move at all. She's like a mannequin.
She's like a Stepford wife?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to. I mean, you know, that's such a loose reference, but you would know those movies. So yeah, she's like a Stepford wife. She's very like creepy and stiff, and a little too perfect. So anyway, enough about politics. Well, there's the 2-minute political segment that'll cover us for the year now. All right, Steve. So those are all movies where the title says it all.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we should probably take a break because we're going to come back. We got tons of movie news stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got like at least three more, right?
Oh, at least.
Tons of shit. And then we got the movie that Dale picked. I let Dale pick. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Okay, I always try to do that with the guests.
Yeah, you really passed the buck on that one.
Yeah, yes, you did.
What?
Did you hear Dale picked it? It was him.
What? We might have loved it.
Yeah, we might have.
No, we'll see. Well, we'll see. We'll get into that. All right, well, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to come back, and I think we'll go right into Tinker, Tailor.
Oh, Tinker,
see
Tailor.
What we'll see if Dale's prediction is right. If he's smelling a rat. All right, back in a minute.
Taking on Hollywood, one shitty movie at a time. This is Show Radio.
And the movie pick of the week is Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. This is the Gary Oldman movie that's all about espionage during the Cold War. Directed by a guy named Thomas Alfredson. He's a Swedish director. I don't know if you guys... did you guys ever see Let Me In? Tez, you saw that, right?
Yes, I did.
Let Me In was an American film that was based on his Swedish film.
Oh, he did the original one.
Yeah, he did the original called Let the Right One In, which is, by the way, Let Me In is a really cool vampire movie. Did you ever see that, Dale?
I have, yeah.
Wasn't that really original?
Yeah. Both of them are really good.
You saw the Swedish one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could actually weigh in on that. Was that a good movie?
Yeah. Okay. I liked them because people said they're like, why are they remaking it? The first one was fine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're both really good and they're right. So
kind of like what they said about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, a lot of
it
that.
It had been made already.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why they do feel like they have to appeal to an American audience with an American cast and stuff. And maybe it's the subtitles. I don't know. Turn off or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't like to read.
I don't like my brother. Tez, you know, my brother Pete, he refuses to see any movie that has subtitles. Anything. just flat out refuses. I don't want to read at a movie. I want to have a good time, goddammit.
Yeah, you gave me that Pan's Labyrinth. Who wants to read that thing?
Oh, yeah, I gave him that once. Yeah, it was subtitled. He had nothing but complaints. All right, so Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, directed by this guy, Thomas Alfredson, the Swede. And this is based on a famous book, actually, which is a book by John Le Carre, or Le Carre, I don't know how you say it, who I found out was a British spy himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the book, I think it was called Smiley's People.
There you go, right, yeah.
Right, and they made a movie, like a made-for-TV movie, maybe it wasn't made-for-TV, with Alec Guinness back in the early 80s.
Like PBS stuff. I think.
Yeah, maybe that was it, yeah, made-for-public TV. So that was, like, you know, already done already, and they decided to make a new version of this thing. So, stars Gary Oldman, John Hurt, Tom Hardy, who will be playing the new Batman villain. Who wants to start out? Nobody's raising their hands.
I'll start.
Nobody running for the line?
I picked the movie.
Yes.
And I wanted to pick something, you know, with the Oscars are right around the corner and everything. So, and I was looking. I was like, let's not do The Artist.
Thank you for
talk
that.
Talk about subtitles. <Yeah. laughs>
Exactly. So I was like, Gary Oldman, he's amazing. Let's do that.
He is. Great British actor.
And it's. I liked it. I thought it was solid.
I should mention Gary Oldman. The name is probably still not a household name.
Commissioner
really.
Gordon in the Batman
Commissioner
movies.
Commissioner Gordon in
it
the Batman
be.
Movies.
It should be a
it should be.
Name.
The guy's great. I mean, I love this guy since Sid and Nancy.
Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's who Gary Oldman is. You'd know him from the Batman movies. He plays Commissioner Gordon.
See, it's so sad. You would know him from the Batman movies. It's like, really?
Really? Yeah. His other, like, award-winning, critically acclaimed work doesn't count for anything? But it doesn't. You know how American audiences aren't into that stuff.
But he was good in it, Gary Oldman.
Yeah. He was good in
this
movie. He
didn't say anything for like the first 15 minutes, but I didn't care. I was like, look at Gary acting his ass off.
Look at him acting with his face. Doesn't even need to talk. He's so good. And those glasses. A lot of acting with those big glasses, too.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little concerned initially. I was like, did I pick a boring movie? Did I do that? And then that lady got shot in the face. In like the first 5 minutes, spoilers. And I was like, okay, lady's getting shot in the face. All right.
All right, that'll pepper up a movie for you.
This can be a thing. Let's do it.
Hey, a face shooting. All right, one guy clapping. Dale's like, all right, we got a movie now. Let's
That's
go.
How Worth the Wait starts. So
start. Oh, there's a tip. Okay. Every movie, every one of your screenplays is going to start with a shot in the face.
Yeah, got to grab the attention.
All right. So anyway, so yeah, you did pick this one. But Gary Oldman is great. Got nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Yeah.
So there
is
that.
His first nomination?
I don't know. I didn't check his awards history. I don't know.
I think he'll win.
Tez Media Guru, doing your job.
Couldn't tell you right offhand.
That's what that tablet's for right there, bud. Let's get cooking. No, but anyway, all right, so Dale, what did you think, though? Gary Oldman was good. I think we all agree on that. He was gave a great performance.
Yeah, I thought it was... I don't think it works well for American audiences because it's back then. There's a lot of language and terms I didn't understand. I had to watch it twice just to figure out what was going on.
And what was the circus they kept talking about in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tess was waiting for the circus scene. Let's
the
go.
Real circus. Yeah, that's the code for the MI6 back then. Yeah. Where's the circus? Everything's got to be literal, huh, Tess?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and it was just...
Verdict?
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought. I was like, Gary Oldman, everyone's raving about it. And it did very well overseas, of course, but mm-hmm. America, and I'm a standard American, I think. And I just, it was all right. Gary Oldman's really good in it, and I hope he wins that Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah, his portrayal was good. That's probably the highlight of it. But Tez, go ahead. What did you think? Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, buddy.
DVD Daryl came through this week for me.
Oh, so you didn't have to go?
He saved me from going to the theater and falling asleep during this movie.
Oh, okay. Now it's becoming clear.
Instead, I was able to sit at home on the floor and fold laundry and, you know, and do different things as the movie was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what was going on.
Maybe because you were folding laundry.
No. I don't think so.
I was lost.
You were lost quite a bit.
And at one point,
Hold on. How many other TVs were you watching while
you
were
watching? No, just the one
TV. Because he'll do that. He'll
really?
Watch two. Yeah, he's got two eyes, two ears. He'll have two TVs going. I'm not kidding, right, dude? He'll sit there with his DVR working one thing
tablet,
while he's doing something else, watching a movie while he's watching TV. That's why he's a media guru.
No,
he watches twice as much as everybody.
No, I found it hard to follow. And at one point, I just gave up trying to follow it and just watched it.
Okay.
It's a little
very British. I guess, centric, the whole movie kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Like, I'm sure they loved it.
Yeah.
But I'll admit, I had to Wikipedia some stuff.
See, right, yeah.
Oh, so you're doing your own multitasking. Like, what is this now? What is it? The references?
I was the same way. Circus, I'm waiting for it.
All right. Well, Tez, so basically for you, just kind of a snoozer.
Yeah.
And then you were kind of lost. Yeah. Well, if you thought you were lost during this movie, think about how fucking lost I felt, because I had to step out for 10 minutes in the middle of this thing. I had a phone call, like an urgent call from my dad. I'm like, oh my God, I hope nothing's wrong. You're always thinking car wreck or some horrible thing. I run out and I'm talking to my dad. My dad's at the tax guy getting his taxes done. He's got questions for me. I'm missing the movie. So I missed 10 minutes of the movie.
1040 with the withholding or
no, really, it was like technical tax questions about that. I'm like, I don't know. I missed 10 minutes of the movie. I didn't even get to see the part where they said the title, where he's talking about the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Tinker, who's Taylor, who's Soldier, who's
right.
I missed that.
That's a pretty important part.
It's like a key part to the movie, right? Yeah. So yeah. I was totally lost. I missed like the most important 10 minutes. Yeah. I was just lost in this thing. And the other thing I'll say is the parts that I did see, though, was just too murky. The story was unclear. It's like they're making you work so hard. Maybe as a novel it works better.
I guess.
That's really what it's famous for, is being this great novel. But I thought all the characters were well acted, not just Gary Oldman. I thought all the acting was solid, great British actors. They're always better with drama than us. But I just felt like it just kind of was lost. It was not even any interesting flaws in the characters. Nothing you could latch on to with that.
No.
By the time they discover, because the movie's about like trying to find this mole, this double agent. By the time they revealed who the mole was, I just didn't care.
He gives me
I was
nice,
so lost.
A nice, lovely, pristine copy with excellent sound, and I could care less about it.
So you finally get a great bootleg DVD.
And it's like,
right. It can't be like a great, like the Batman, The Dark Knight. It can't be what you want, you know? All right, Steve, why don't you chime in?
Well, I agree, and for once I have to agree with Tez. I had a hard time staying awake. I was in the theater. It was tough. That movie was way, way too long. They kept switching back and forth to scenes. This has really bothered me. They'd be doing a scene, then they'd show like 5 seconds of something else and switch to something else, and you have no idea what that 5 seconds was about. And how about Colin Firth? I mean, he's a major movie star. They hardly use him in the movie.
Yeah, won the Oscar for The King's Speech last
year. That's right, yeah.
I mean, he had like one scene where maybe for 2 minutes he was the star of the movie. And that was about it through the whole movie.
Well, he's got that scene at near the end there.
But still,
yeah, I don't want to give that away. But yeah, there is a really good dramatic scene toward the end of the film.
Right, but that's it. I mean, through the whole movie, you see him here, you see him there. He's not really involved.
Well, that's kind of, this is one of those movies where as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, it's not the actor's fault. It's nobody's fault. These are all great actors. We've seen them do great work before. It's just fallen flat. It's not happening.
They did that with everybody, though. Like a little bit of this guy now, a little bit of that, because it's like a whodunit.
Right.
So it's like...
Right, little insight into this character. But even that stuff, it's like it wasn't interesting enough to really make it, you know, give it any pop.
And I think we're all fairly intelligent, and everyone said the same thing.
Speak for yourself.
It's trying to follow it was difficult.
Yeah, it was.
Figure out what the
you almost needed like a flow chart or something. You know, like they do those crime, like mafia family flow charts. All right, so this character, you know, then you know how everybody's connected and shit.
I think the whole, you know, country difference really hurt. Like if it was like J. Edgar, like maybe people overseas are like, FBI, what is going on?
Right.
Maybe
that's their
situation. You know what? You might be right about that, Dale, because if you had the historical perspective or you were old enough to remember when this shit was going on, because the guy who wrote the book was a real British spy. He really was a British spy who had some kind of a double agent ruin his, you know, his whole deal. I mean, he was involved in something similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to fictionalize it into a novel.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it was so big in England, because it was sort of based on true events.
Like we have, you know, like we've all heard of Watergate. We know what that is. Like if we tried to.
Great example.
Somebody over there was like, what? I don't care. What is that? And it's a whole thing.
Right.
And they probably wouldn't find it too interesting.
Right, right.
You know. So, Vic, next time Dale's on, you know, and he picks the movie, you might want to check it out before you put us all through this, okay?
or
hey, come on.
I'm just kidding.
Or
come
just
on.
Don't let me pick a movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When you picked that movie, I thought, well, Gary Oldman, I was the same way. I was like, I could go for a good spy movie.
He calls me on the phone. We're going to see Tinker Tailor. I'm like, oh, really?
I thought it was an animated show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should have heard him. Really.
Oh,
it was like, like time to take your medicine.
When I told liver oil. Yeah.
But I was interested, because I'm always up for a good spy movie, but it's got to be a good spy movie.
It was a little dry. You
know, it was a little dry.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go to some dollar ratings. Mr. Stamps, I'm going to try to keep track here.
Okay.
Dollar rating for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy Stamps.
I get it from DVD Daryl. I got 6 movies for $20. So what am I paying each one there?
About $250.
So. I like how you said.
Wash it at home.
You really should have the least complaints because you were folding laundry, watching the movie for free.
No, not for free. I had to pay for it and burn gas to go get it.
Oh, okay.
I want to say, if you have interest in the book, maybe or any background would be fine, but I want to say like $3.
All right, $3 even for Mr. Stamps. Yeah. A paltry $3. All right, we're going to let you go next, Dale. I'm going to work this way around the
table.
You
have to tell him how we rate things, though. Did you tell him yet?
You know, it's been a while since I made that clear.
You know, I'm a big fan of the show. No. I'm familiar.
Okay.
Somebody who's heard the show is on the show.
First time guest.
This might be a first.
You can pick the movie every time if he's a fan.
No, but you know, I liked it. I wanted to like it more. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary Oldman's really good in it. A lot of those guys, Benedict Cumberpatch or whatever, he's a really good actor.
I don't know if that's a real actor, but I'll go.
But it was somebody Cumberbatch in the movie.
Oh, is it Cumberbatch? Yeah. Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, very fancy name.
Yes.
But like I said, I didn't like it as much as I wanted, but it was still solid. I would say, it's $6.
$6, okay.
Oh, somebody's trying to work the rating up a little bit. All right. All right, and Steve, let's go to you. Dollar rating on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, I agree with Tez that if somebody's interested in this, you know, that time of the, you know, the Cold War or whatever, it might be worth it, but...
But hold on a second. If you got to keep saying that...
Right.
No, if you read the book and you have an interest in it, it's going to...
Yeah, otherwise...
But doesn't that go without saying in a way? Like, you know, I mean, obviously, anybody who loves the subject is going to like a movie.
It's not true.
It.
Like, I just watched Moneyball last night. Could care less about baseball, but I enjoyed it.
All right, well, maybe you're proving me wrong then. All right, Steve. So
okay, well, based on being forced to see this movie, and
nobody, I tell you guys every time, you can see whatever the hell you want. You don't have to see the movie that we pick.
Based on, I'm going to give it $2. Like I said, I was fighting, trying to stay awake, trying to follow it. I did not walk out of there going, oh, well, you know, I enjoyed that even somewhat. As soon as the movie ended, I was out of my seat.
All right. Well, Dale, I should mention, you know, Steve is very specific. He only likes movies about Jewish motorcycle enthusiasts.
Motorcycle. Forget
who
the Jewish.
Who also work as personal trainers. That's all he likes.
No.
Very particular. Very
specific. Tez and I were talking, what was that, Larry Crown?
Mm-hmm.
He calls me, he goes, this is a movie about you, Steve. I said, oh, thanks. I like that movie.
Oh, got like midlife crisis.
Yes, movies I can relate to.
Jobs.
Those are the ones that I like.
Okay.
I liked Haywire. That was good.
Yeah, I know. You came in talking about that. You loved this.
I couldn't remember the name of it, but I liked the movie.
Big fan of the Girl Kicks Ass movie.
Yes.
But not Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. So really not a thinking man is what we're learning here.
Right, exactly.
Big Michael
Bay fan. You
want
to see a hot girl with a nice ass kick some butt, but you don't want to see a spy.
What was that other one with the 12-year-old that was kicking ass a couple years ago.
Called Kick Ass.
Kick Ass. There you go. Remember that one? I like that one.
Nicolas Cage's best movie in a while, actually. All right. So I guess I'll throw my 2 cents in here. I missed 10 key minutes, but I'm still going to say...
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Can I take everybody's word for it? It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it wouldn't
have
mattered.
How do you know what you missed? How did you fill that gap in? Because you know what you missed. How did you find that out? Did you just Wikipedia?
When I saw the trailer, the movie trailer, I'm like, oh, that they're moving chess pieces and there's names of people. I'm like, wow, I didn't even see that.
So you missed. See, there could have been more. Like you missed a wild sex scene. That phone call.
Really. I love how Dale's doing this. What a great defense. I missed the best part. You missed the best part, asshole. That's what you get for taking a call.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, I did. Because I was already out somewhere and I just went and saw it. So
downtown prices too.
I'm going, but I didn't pay for parking.
Okay.
So that was good. That will affect my review price. All right. It's always about what you pay. I'm going to say $4.
Wow.
$4. All right.
Lucky you didn't drag Cheryl to this one. Take her to this one. That's what I meant.
All right. I'm going to average this out now. Let me get the calculator. Whenever there's more than two people, I have to do
the calculator. So as he's adding, Moneyball, saw it, enjoyed it. I shouldn't have liked it, but it was very good.
I almost saw it last night at the cheap theater. I almost paid $1.75 in Bloomingdale to see it.
Okay.
But I didn't make it.
Yeah, Jonah Hill nominated for an Academy Award for Moneyball.
Who would have thought, huh?
Yeah, it's weird.
That is incredible. You know, I was talking to Ryan Buds, just talking about some stuff, and he had a take on that. He thinks that the reason that happened is because the Academy is trying so hard to appeal to younger viewers to get them to watch the Academy Awards that they, you know, they just nominated Jonah Hill because he's young.
But he's not popular with young. He is young, yes, but nobody's like, let's go see that Jonah Hill movie.
Oh, no. He's not popular with people in their 20s?
I think he is. I think he's in that Seth Rogen Michael Cera weed smoker kind of group.
I think it's because of all that weight he lost. I think that's what it is. He actually trained with me. I didn't want to mention it.
You did great work.
Steve Rubin, trainer to the stars.
Although, you know, he's gained that weight back. So.
Yeah, so.
Oh, he gained all that weight back?
A little bit.
He didn't get all of it back, though.
So he stopped seeing Steve, and that's what happens.
See?
That's what happens when you stop Rubin.
That's right.
All right, so the average, let me make the announcement here.
The Shoal Radio average dollar rating for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is $3.75, even though Tez didn't pay shit to see it.
That's right.
And that's where we're at, $3.75. So pretty wild. This really varies incredibly. So Dale gave this triple the dollar rating that Steve did. Dale's at $6. Steve's at $2. I'm at $4. It wasn't a bad movie, Steve. Come on.
Oh, come on, dude.
Oh, yes.
There's still some great acting going on there.
Gary Oldman alone.
The guy got nominated for an Oscar.
So you're telling me that just because there's good actors that you couldn't follow the story, way too long.
But I thought it was just the 10 minutes.
Is that more of the movie or is that you, though? It's one of those movies where you have to pay attention, and I'm like that too. I like to watch movies where I don't have to be fully invested.
Oh no, there's movies that I like 2 hours that if I pay attention, if it's a good movie I'm interested in, it's keeping my interest. This did not keep my interest. Well, I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Steve, but you are a guy, you're kind of hyper. It's hard for you to just sit there and
don't
watch
blame him.
Yeah, thank you to Tez. Good job.
Tez, have you ever seen a movie with him?
Shut up.
He's got earbuds on.
Yeah, right.
His iPod. He's got a book open. That's how he watches a movie.
Nah, but you can't blame him, though, man. It was hard to follow.
All right. Well, I tried, Dale.
Thank you.
I tried, buddy. Okay, it's me and you. We're going to movies from now on.
There's a guy in the movie who's dead, and then he's not dead. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought he was dead.
What happened? You drop your laundry when that happened?
No, you drop a T-shirt or something.
They keep going back and forth.
He's teaching school. The little kid is hanging around. Why is he hanging around with the kid? I mean, what is this?
By the way, the little kid thing. Didn't know where that was going. Got a little concerned. Right.
There could have been an interesting turn.
Yeah.
When a middle-aged spy who's in hiding befriends a young boy.
Hey, he's like, come to my van. I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, here we go. It's going to get good.
It was a trailer.
Living in a trailer down by the river.
Right.
That's right. He was living in a trailer. All right, we're giving way too much away. All right, Steve.
You know what? People don't have to see this movie. Just listen to this. This is more interesting than the movie.
All right. Well, I need to do a hard reset here. I'm going to take a quick break. This is going to be a real short break, and we're going to come back and talk.
What do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more. Steve's got movie news, and Dale can tell him all these wherever you can work in how he's fucking wrong about this movie, Dale, for the rest of the show. All right, we'll be back in a second. His ass off this week.
Yes, I did.
Putting in the OT. All right, buddy, go ahead.
Well, this one, I'm not sure who's going to be more upset about it, me or Tez, but welcome back, Cotter actor Robert Higgs has died. He was 60 years old.
No! Tez, I'm doing that on your behalf. No!
No!
Well, and he's best known for playing Juan Epstein, who was a Puerto Rican Jew on Welcome Back, Cotter. So, one of our brothers, one of our Jewish brothers. Well,
you've
actually
lost one of your Jewish brethren.
I guess it was just that's what he was acting. So,
right. We don't know. Was he Jewish in real life?
I doubt it.
All right. probably Hispanic. At least we got part of it right. The Jewish Puerto Rican thing.
He died at 60.
Yes.
And he was, all right, the show Welcome Back, Cotter from the 70s. This is a TV show for anybody who doesn't know. Dale, I'm looking in your direction.
I'm not that old. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, what year were you born?
84.
Okay, so the show had been off the air for like 6 years by the time you were born. All right. This is the show that launched John Travolta's career. That's all you really need to know about it.
So we
it was
should
kind
hate
of a crash
this show.
If you hate John Travolta, hate Welcome Back, Kotter.
Well, was this it Vinny?
This was like a bad sitcom. It was all based on this guy who was a school teacher who grew up in a shitty New York neighborhood and went back there to teach. And then you had a bunch of characters who were in his class, a bunch of students. And John Travolta was one of them.
Gabe Kaplan, the Jewish guy.
Gabe Kaplan, right,
See, there we got a Jewish guy in there somewhere.
Gabe Kaplan, who's now a professional poker player.
That's right, he is.
Yes.
Yeah, Gabe Kaplan. That was his show, Welcome Back, Kotter, from the 70s. If you YouTube it, you'll see John Travolta doing his whole, what's going on? I'm a real stupid guy from New York. He's doing like a total like bozo. You know,
I woke up my hair for hours.
Yeah, this is before Saturday Night Fever. This is the show that got him started, really.
Don't hit the hair.
You know, up your nose with a rubber hose. This is so weird, Mr. Kotter. He's really laying it on.
He might not have been acting. That might have been him back then.
Well, I was a kid when the show was on, and I thought, boy, that guy's stupid. My God, what a just a moron. And then he started doing these other movies. I'm like, oh, look, that idiot's trying to act smart now. He's trying to be in real movies. He's doing other stuff now. I had no idea. Now the guy, I don't know what his speech effect is. He's got this weird thing he does now when he talks.
That's
he sounds completely different than his character. I'm Welcome Back, Kotter.
That's the old Scientology speech.
That must be it. That's where he got that from.
Tom Cruise does the same thing now. It's really weird.
Yes, they're very articulate in a very specific L. Ron Hubbard kind of a way. Something they learned at the Celebrity Center for Scientology. But yeah, totally different deal. But
yes. Mr. Hedges.
That is Welcome Back, Kotter, and that's where this guy is from. He played Juan Epstein, this Robert Hedges.
He is Hungarian and Italian.
Oh, not even close.
Tez, good going with the tablet.
Born on May 7th, 1951.
You can stop right there. Thanks, buddy.
In Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
He's not going to go through the trouble to do a web search and not milk the shit out of it. All right, Tez. And the name of his spouse and his children?
After the show ended, he played Chico Marx on stage in the national touring production of Groucho.
Oh, in case you were curious. In case I was curious, and I wasn't. Thanks. Thanks very much, Tez.
Does it say he was on Cagney and Lacey?
Yes, he had a reoccurring role.
See?
As Manny Esposito.
Esposito, another.
On the 1980s TV police drama Cagney and Lacey.
Mm. All right. Tez, listen, I appreciate your web search and stuff, but Steve did more work than you, so we're going to let him read the news story, if you don't mind.
How about news radio?
He would be best remembered for Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Steve, why don't you finish your movie news story, and then have Tez finish it for you. Please.
Okay. Well, we're going to have three stories about three different celebrities that this involves 911 calls, emergency calls. The first one is when Tracy Morgan fell unconscious at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh.
So according to callers, they said that the actor had a high fever and was in possession of antibiotics for an infection in his foot. His breathing was not normal, but the caller says he's not sure if Tracy had been drinking.
Mm. Hmm. Antibiotics and booze? I wonder if that could cause something.
It's the altitude.
Well, I mean, he's not the healthiest guy. I mean, you could probably flip a coin on that one, I think.
Yeah.
Because he had
a kidney transplant a year ago from his wife.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, his wife gave him a kidney.
I thought that was George Lopez.
No, Tracy Morgan, too.
Oh, all right. Yeah. That seems to be a thing. All right. Hear that, honey? You up there, Cheryl? You hear that about giving a kidney to the one you love? Okay, just saying.
Crickets.
Yeah, no response. All right.
Yeah, so multiple.
So Tracy Morgan unconscious at the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah, so multiple eyewitnesses claim that Morgan was slurring his words during the event and appeared extremely intoxicated. But of course, a rep for the hospital where he was treated insists neither drugs nor alcohol were found in the actor's system upon medical evaluation.
All right. Well, mate, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, it says he was, I'm sorry, he said he was slurring his words and he was acting. He's always acting that way.
Right.
How do you know?
It's par for the course. That's what you get with Tracy Morgan.
I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown ass man. That's who I is. I slurs my speech.
I take care of my kids. Yeah.
But like Tez said, he tweeted that he claimed the high altitude was to blame for his medical emergency.
That's right. In Colorado, the elevation's higher than it is in New Jersey.
Like, I'm going back to California.
High elevation. All right, that's a new one. Okay.
Yeah, my ears are still clogged up. Can't you tell?
I can't even get on elevators. It goes too fast. I got a problem. All right, so Tracy Morgan, but nothing else revealed on this, right?
No.
He's okay now, right?
Yes.
He's not still in the hospital or anything. Okay. So who else, Steve? You said several.
Now we have Demi Moore, and she was obsessively drinking Red Bull in weeks preceding this 9/11 emergency. But according to reports, her addiction to Red Bull is a decade old. So that's, of course, not...
Oh, Red Bull.
Right. Coke. Red Bull.
Coke. Excuse me. Energy Coke.
She's been drinking it for 10 years now.
Red Bull fiend. Did you know that?
No.
And
Demi Moore, Red Bull fiend. Well, maybe that's how she stays so creepy and skinny. You know, she looks so, like, crispy now and everything.
Crispy.
She looks brittle.
You know how most people just go to the store and buy it?
Mm-hmm.
She had it delivered in cases of it to her house.
Jeez.
Oh, so like, really? Beep,
directly from
beep,
Red Bull.
Beep,
yep.
Back it up to the garage, like loading up cases of Red Bull.
Yes.
Probably pallets of Red Bull.
That's pretty. She's like, just hook it to my veins.
Shoot me up. Shoot it right in.
Well, she was using it in place of food. That's pretty sad.
Oh, did it say that?
Really? Yes.
Oh, we can do that?
I guess you can.
Red
Bull diet.
Yeah, and she would go to Hollywood parties and consume massive amounts of Red Bull, but of course never touch the alcohol because she is a recovering addict. You know that, of course.
She always did seem a little wide-eyed, you know what I mean? Like a little too alert everywhere she went. She's probably trying to keep pace with Ashton Kutcher because he's so much younger. You know, she's trying to keep the energy going.
Right,
that's
he's
why
running around with the camera, taking pictures and doing Nikon ads. And
right, he's doing the Nikon ads. She's getting jealous. She's like, I got just as much energy as you. I have as much energy as you.
I'm young.
Thin. I'm young. What is she like? She's like 49, right? 49,
something
50,
somewhere in there, yeah.
More? Okay.
Well, so this is the 9/11 call. She was rushed to a hospital after her friends told paramedics, and this is great, she inhaled too much nitric oxide, also known as whippets.
Got the NOS, man.
Nice.
She's doing the NOS, man.
She's doing whippets.
Yeah, the woman said
isn't that what comes into whipped cream? That's how you can do whippets off of whipped cream?
Yeah,
boy, she's not just immature in her choices of boyfriends. She's doing whippets and Red Bull, and what's with her?
That seems like something a 13-year-old would do to get high. And you have nothing there, so it's like, well, we'll do this, I guess. It's like,
right. She's a Hollywood celebrity. She could afford the finest drugs that LA has to offer, and she's doing Red Bull and whippets. Low rent, man.
And the woman said that she was smoking something. It wasn't marijuana. It was something similar to incense, and she's having convulsions now.
She was smoking something like incense.
Similar, yeah. This is what the caller said. Mm-hmm. And she was barely conscious. And the woman also said she was taking some other stuff recently, but didn't know what it was.
Let's make a deal real quick. If you guys ever have to call 911 for me, never say, he was smoking something. It wasn't marijuana. Because they're just going to think things.
He was smoking something. It smelled good. Yeah, it was. They're going to jump to all the wrong conclusions.
Oh, it wasn't marijuana? She was smoking crack. Thank you. Just say it next time.
If I ever get famous, I want to have everybody around me. Listen, when you have to make that call for 911, just say, just get here. Okay. You know.
Yeah, but maybe they won't do that. Maybe they're like, sir, we're not dispatching an ambulance till we know what the fuck
shots
is going
on. Shots are fired.
On.
The cop's been shot. Get here.
We want to know it's right. You know, if you want to get there, if you want to get people to the house quickest, just say officer down. Call an officer down. Officer down.
Just get here. We have Red Bull for you. Just show up.
And then when they get here, I'll say, Dale's not, he's not a cop. He told us he was a cop. He's passed out. We thought he was a cop.
He makes us call him Officer Dale. I thought that was strange.
He goes around to schools. He tells kids. He does, you know, officer friendly. He's not a cop. That's how you get him out to the house, though, man. He's all right. You got to find some way.
But they have to know that these tapes, 10 seconds after she hung the phone up, it was already being copies ran off the TMZ kind of thing.
Well, do you think all this was said in the 911 call? She drinks Red Bull obsessively.
Yes.
She was smoking something. I don't know what it was. Yeah. Then she was inhaling another. All this is being told.
You might know her. She was the star of G.I. Jane.
Star of G.I. Jane and Striptease. You may know who I'm talking about.
All this
boyfriend
gossip.
Just left her.
Yeah, she's not handling the breakup well. This is important information.
This is all in the 911 call, her whole history and everything. You know, they started arguing about 6 months ago. It was about the human trafficking that they're both involved in.
Yes, it's true. Bruce Willis and her are really good friends. Yes,
they're still
true.
Really good friends. Get it? Please get an ambulance here. Why do you need to know all this? All right, so Demi Moore. So that's what, Tracy Morgan, Demi Moore. That's two.
Okay, and this last, I saved the best for last. So we decided that Workaholics. Tez, you said you've seen this.
Never heard of it.
Who was
Workaholics?
It?
Yeah, Workaholics.
Oh, Dale.
Yeah.
Oh, Dale. That's
I've seen it. Comedy Central. Workaholics.
Oh, yeah. And what's it like? Is it like Jackass?
No, it's not like that. I mean, it's a
sitcom-y style. It's like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. If you've ever seen that show, it's kind of like that a little bit.
Okay, well, the star Blake Anderson, he seriously injured himself when he jumped off his roof onto a beer pong table, and this is according to the 9/11 call placed after the stunt.
Another great 9/11 call. Another great one we want to hear. Okay.
Okay, so this is according to the caller, who was Blake's dad, that he plummeted 20 to 25 feet during the fall, added, he landed on his feet, but now he's having extreme pain around his lower back area and his buttocks to the point where he can't walk. Okay. And his dad clarifies this so you guys know, there's a stabbing pain around his anal area.
You know, I want to hear that 911 call because you know he's in the back. Dad, they don't need to know all that. Just tell them to get an ambulance here. They don't need to know that. I got a ping pong ball up my ass from the beer pong. They don't need to know that.
You could tell, like, he's doing the dad thing. He's like, I'm going to be very professional here. I'm going to help the operator. Right. It's the anus.
Once again, I just want to repeat, there's a stabbing pain in his anal area. You got that? Do you copy?
Well, when the dispatcher asked how he fell, the dad said he stumbled. It wasn't that he was trying to do this purposely to jump off the roof. His dad lied, blatantly lied, and said, oh, he stumbled off the roof.
Oh yeah.
He just stumbled. Happened to be on the roof. We're not sure why.
He was up on the roof. He stumbled and fell ass first on the beer pong table. Happens every day.
Once again.
Happens every day.
He was on a ladder on the roof and he fell.
Didn't he end up I think this guy like broke his back.
Yeah, he had back surgery too, but. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So. He's like, yeah, he had back surgery too, but we're talking about the
That's
anus.
Right. Back surgery is not funny. Come on.
Back. Yeah, let's hear about the ass.
No, but you undersell it to 911 just to get him there. You don't have to tell him all that on the call.
Yeah. Like, if that was my dad, if that happened to me, mm-hmm. my dad would just be like, yeah, the kid broke his ass. You should get
him. Well, is your dad, he's got like a Chicago accent, your dad?
No, not really, but he's just, you know, blue collar guy. He's like, yeah, kid was stupid.
Jumped off the roof.
Yeah.
I told him not to jump off the roof. Yeah. Dumb kid. Where were you born? What town are you from?
I'm from Dalton, Illinois.
Dalton, that's how you Dalton, say it. Dalton. Yes,
Dalton Dale.
Actually, you know what? Dalton, home of Jane Lynch from Glee, right?
Yeah, she is from Dalton.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Nice. Also the home of Richard Roper, I think, is from Dalton, the movie critic.
Oh, that's good that we can claim him.
Yes, Dick Roper from Dalton also.
Jane Lynch's best performance is on 2.5 Men when she plays a psychiatrist. Have you seen that? She is hilarious in that.
No, I've not seen that. No.
I think her best role is Sam's mom on iCarly.
She was actually on that?
Big fan. Uh-huh.
Big iCarly fan. She's great.
You're a big iCarly fan? All right.
Okay, we got to go now.
Wrap it up. Okay, well, let's end there. Steve, great story about the kid breaking his ass. And,
yeah, okay. I'll see you guys later.
We're good, right? Everybody good? Okay. All right. Well, Dale, thank you for being on, man. First time for Dale Zawada.
Thank you for having
me. Comedian who's written a screenplay that's being made into a movie. My God, it's like if I wrote the perfect guest for this show, that's what it would be.
And apparently we're going to have to pay to see the movie. So, never mind. Sorry.
No, we could get Tez working on that. Good context.
Dale was the perfect guest, except for that Tinker Tailor part.
So everything but the movie.
Pat. When will this movie be like out in the public and see it?
Well,
do we know or how that works?
Well, it's the festivals first, and then some distributor will pick it up and they'll make the call. If I had to guess, I would probably say it'll be on Netflix and all that stuff probably about a year from now.
Netflix.
Okay. After the test, is that your tablet going
I think
off
your doorbell's finally working, Vic.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It sounds like over there. We don't need the sound effects. So, worth the wait.
Yes.
And wait is spelled W-E-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Little play on words.
That's what we did.
See how they did that?
Clever.
All right. But everybody, look for that, man. Dale's got a movie coming out in March, Worth the Wait. It'll be at the festivals, and it'll probably be, getting into the more mainstream shortly after that.
Yeah, I hope so.
And if people want to see what's up with the concert, comedy? With the stand-up, where do they go?
Yeah, I've got all my dates on my website, DaleZawada.com.
Here, the girls
hey, you got a dot .com. There you go. You got a dot .com.
Yeah, for that one, we
not
have a
dot
.com.
Not a .web or
yeah.
whatever,
how
dot .net.
How is Dale spelled? D-A-Y-L-E or something like that? Or?
Just the standard D-A-L-E. Not so, too crazy.
Now, what about Zawada? How do you spell that?
Z-A-W-A-D-A.
Okay.
I just assume everyone knows how to spell it. I've got a movie coming out, all right?
And why do you put pictures of your dates up there? I'm not sure. I'm not following this.
I like to brag.
Oh, brag.
I don't
okay.
get many
you
dates.
You put your
so...
dates up there. I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong kind of dates.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm
put both. No, I put both.
You do? Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right. So one night stands. You got pictures of that up mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. He likes fruit. Yeah, dates. Yeah.
Okay, those kind of dates.
Oh, that kind of. Okay.
So DaleZawada.org.
Dot com.
Why did I say .org? I was still thinking about that. All right. Yeah, that would be if you were a government institution. Yeah.
Well, okay. me and Ryan Buds, guess you guys have, we do that Between Gigs web series. And like for the website for that is betweengigs.net because we couldn't get .com.
Oh, that's right. That's why I got the other thing on my mind.
Yeah. So, and check that out.
You, between gigs. You know what I like about that?
What's
the
that?
Between Gigs things?
Mm-hmm.
It's very short. Then I don't have to commit too much time to watching them.
Is this another dig at Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy because it was too long?
Not at all.
You were the one complaining about fat jokes in the beginning. Now you're giving Dale a hard time.
No, I'm just saying that I like his short work.
All right.
That's what the girls say.
That's why you put those pictures up there.
All right.
Satisfied customers.
There we go. All right, everybody, so check that out. That's what's happening with Dale Zawada. DaleZawada.com and worth the wait. Coming soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks again, Dale. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Send us an email at the Show Radio website, which is showradioonline.com. See pictures and everything up there. All right. Talk to you next time. Cheers.